most, if not all, other personal injury firms now use PrimaFac, but when we started doing it in 2000 and 2001, it was absolutely cutting edge. Where normally I would have been carrying three banker's boxes full of documents, and instead I just downloaded the file into my laptop and I'd show up with a laptop and that's it. Meanwhile, you know, defense counsel's got banker's boxes and a junior sitting there writing out longhand the questions and answers. And it was a huge step forward for us at the time.
From Ontario's personal injury law firm, McLeish Orlando, this is Behind the Suit, a plaintiff's journey.
Welcome to the second season of Behind the Suit. You have Patrick Brown, principal partner at McLeish Orlando. It's episode one. We're here with Dale Orlando, also principal partner of McLeish Orlando. Dale, how are you?
Excellent, Pat. Thanks for asking. And you?
I'm good. It looks like you brought someone with you today, Nicole Smith, a senior law clerk at the firm. Nicole, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. You happy to be here?
Yes, I am.
Great. Well, listen, we've got Nicole and Dale here to talk. This is another segment on the business of law. We did one in season one, but this focus is going to be on the evolution of technology at McLeish Orlando. It's my understanding it's something that you pride yourself of. And actually, a lot of people consider you to be one of the leaders in innovation with that type of technology. Before I get into it, Dale, I do want to talk. When I came in 2001, right. And I know you and John got the firm going in 99.
Correct.
But I must say, by that time, I had been working at various other firms since 91. And up till I came here in 2001, I'm telling you, I was sitting there working in paper files, you know, the big old brown folders with a ton of paper stacked in there. You got coffee stains. You got people putting in sticky notes with handwritten things. Everybody was using handwritten notes. In fact, there wasn't at times when I started computers, but that was the way things were happening. And then I did come to the firm. And by the time I came, all my files in 2001 were instantly put into a program, which was paperless. And I found it just remarkable, that step. And I really hadn't seen anybody else doing that back then. And maybe when we just start out, take us back, maybe back to that time, how perhaps you and John and the firm developed something that I had never really seen yet.
We were very much the same when I started with McLeish in 1994 at Loubstra, Nixon and McLeish. And from 94 to 99, it was very much as you were saying with, you know, the folders and the paper files and, you know, McLeish had a Rolodex, like literally a Rolodex. If I needed a doctor's, you know, phone number or, you know, a lawyer, you would go to the Rolodex. Or do you remember the old phone book, the lawyer's phone book?
Oh, yeah.
If we did an initial interview with a client, it was a paper form that we filled out and that would get stuck in the file. And if you needed to call the client, you had to go and pull the form out so you could get their phone number. And there wasn't a lot of sort of inertia or energy behind change. The firm was quite happy to kind of stay the way it was. And for a lot of reasons, we left, started what we considered still called the new firm in February of 1999. And in the 2.5 years or so before you started, Pat, we really made a commitment to modernizing the way we practiced. And I'm not going to say it was me. I mean, I was 30 and John was 51 when we started the firm. Like I was 29. Within a month, I had turned 30, John had turned 51. And for a guy who's 51, he was definitely interested in learning new things and very much any idea I came up with or he came up with, there was a lot of energy to explore it. We spent money and we really just started modernizing the practice, starting with really basic things like, why are we filling out a paper form when we can do an initial interview on a laptop? So we were the first firm to buy laptops. So all the lawyers coming in had a laptop and I would bring my laptop into the boardroom and I would, you know, type out the notes from the initial interview. And then that document became a living document. It stayed, you know, in our system and it was a pretrial, we called it the internal pretrial conference memo. And you just kept adding to it. You know, you have a call with the client. Well, you would make a note at the bottom of this document. So every time a client would call, I would be able to pull that document up. Oh, I see your son had a birthday last week. Like, oh, just, hey, by the way, mention happy birthday to your son. And they think, oh my God, like my lawyer knows my file inside out and backwards. It's just because we kept a running sort of open document. We started with the client list. So I had an Excel spreadsheet document, client name, and then every meaningful step in the process. So if I'm running 100 files, I've got, you know, a spreadsheet with 100 entries, 100 rows, 7 or 8 columns like claim issued, defense received, discovery booked, mediation booked, pretrial, trial. You know, so at a glance, you could see all of your files, you know, on 2 or 3 pages, see what stages are at. And then you would say, well, wait a second, how come a defense was received 8 months ago, but there's no discovery book? So it was a really easy way to keep the files moving ahead. And we still use that system now. It's just, it's incorporated into a program that Nicole's going to be talking about in a few minutes. And then I think probably the first big step towards, you know, having a paperless kind of virtual office was PrimaFact. There were other document management programs out there, and we like different aspects of different programs. I know there was Lotus Notes, there was, God, I can't even remember the names of them, but we looked at like 2 or 3 different systems, liked different aspects of each of them, but didn't have the whole package. And then we went to our IT company and said, you know, can you collaborate with us on the creation of a document management system that really is designed for personal injury? Because the other ones were kind of, you know, a one size fits all. And they did that. It's called PrimaFact. It was a company called, well, it was Animate, but then they spun off a company called Sandcat. Me and John and a bunch of the other people in the office all contributed to the various aspects of development of that program. And because we had a hand in it, it fit our practice perfectly in terms of the way the index works, the search features, the highlighting, the functionality of it was very much designed for personal injury practice. And I think most, if not all, other personal injury firms now use PrimaFact, but when we started doing it in 2000 and 2001, it was absolutely cutting edge because, you know, I would go to a discovery where normally I would have been carrying 3 banker's boxes full of documents, and instead I just downloaded the file into my laptop and I'd show up with a laptop and that's it. Meanwhile, you know, defense counsel's got banker's boxes and a junior sitting there writing out longhand the questions and answers, and it was just a huge step forward for us at the time.
So you get to, we all know that certainly in personal injury litigation, in this type of litigation, it's really document driven. There's just thousands of documents coming in, clinical notes and records, hospital records, employment files, and you're putting it into this PrimaFact system. Is there any like tips that you could offer in relation to using perhaps PrimaFact or any kind of system similar to PrimaFact to make it effective in a law office? Because I certainly heard from other firms or other practices that they have PrimaFact, but not necessarily everyone uses it. And they certainly don't use it in the way we do at times. So yeah. any tips on making it a useful technology?
Well, I think the what set us apart was we were very, very disciplined and regimented right from the outset that, you know, we're adopting this and the entire firm's adopting it. Every lawyer has to do everything the exact same way. And the discipline is making sure everything gets scanned in. So every document that arrives here, it gets scanned into our system and it gets labeled. So, you know, that's the hard part. Like, it's easy just to scan 50,000 pages in, but if it's not organized and indexed, it's really not as useful. And if some files are in, but part of a file is in, but not the complete file, it's not as useful. So you hear of other firms, well, they use it for trial and they scan everything in just before the trial. And it just seems kind of wrongheaded. Like, why wouldn't you use this amazing productivity tool right from the get-go and have the entire, if it's good for me and it's good for you, then it's good for every lawyer in this firm. The one size fits all approach is really, I think, part of what sets our firm apart from other firms is, like, you know, we're kind of like the McDonald's of personal injury. If you go get a quarter pounder in England.
I like Big Macs.
Well, a Big Mac. Okay. So Pat's a Big Mac guy. So, you know, your Big Mac from the McDonald's in Rome is the same as the Big Mac from the one in Toronto. And, you know, that's the same approach we take. If there's a way to improve our system, you know, bring it to the table, we'll all discuss it, we'll incorporate it, and then everybody uses that new aspect of the system. And so with us, with PrimaFact, it's the labeling really and the index is really what makes it user-friendly. Like, I don't want to ever have to pull a paper file out and dig through, you know, looking for the employment file. I can just go to PrimaFact, I know exactly where it is, I click on it, and if it's 150 pages, it's all there. And if it's an employment file where chronological order is important, well, we've had somebody organize those records chronologically before they got put in, and there's an index scanned in as well. So I can go to the index, open up employment file, look at the index, the document I'm looking for is at page 50, and then I just open the employment file itself, go straight to page 50, and away you go.
Like from a time saver deal, like just having that document management system online and the ability to go through it, and you're old enough to know what it was like with those old brown folders. Mm-hmm. But from an efficiency standpoint, how much time or how quickly can you go through a file compared to a paper file, for instance?
Oh, it's just huge. I mean, so from the lawyer perspective, it's massive productivity improvement. You know, there is front-end work that maybe wasn't getting done before. The employment file would come in and, you know, the assistant would just stick it into a folder and you would look at it whenever you got around to it. And, you know, so the organizing and indexing and scanning of the records is kind of front-end, time-consuming extra labor. But it's not my labor and it's not your labor, right? You don't want somebody billing out at $500 an hour doing something that somebody, you can pay them $25 an hour to do. So that's basically, I mean, the number of hours I spent when I was a young lawyer at the old firm, coming in, taking over these files, not organized in any way, not indexed in any way. Half the time I couldn't tell where the family doctor's clinical notes and records ended and the hospital records started. Everything was just jammed into these folders, to being able to, like, literally, I can look at 10 files in an evening. You click a file, oh, I want to look at, oh, I know a medical report came in on the Smith file. I'm going to read that tonight. I click on that. I open it up and I read it. And then, oh, I wanted to look at the school records for, you know, Jane Campbell. I open her school records. I look at those. And, you know, just number one, not physically having to carry the documents around and being able to access them. Once we got Citrix and we're getting there, being able to access them remotely, I mean, it makes your time as a lawyer, just you're able to accomplish so much more in the same number of hours of the working day, like multiple times the amount of productivity. Okay. And that's just the start.
Oh, I get that. So productivity, and some of the other tips were making sure everybody's following the same system, mm-hmm. developing a system to make that technology useful and incorporating across the firm. And I take it when you have that new person coming into the firm and you see that old folder on their desk, what are you going to do there, Dale?
Well, we just, you know, it takes a little reminding. So we typically hire out of our articling program. So I don't know that there's a single lawyer here that did an article here other than you currently, if you think about it.
It's pretty close to that. I mean,
I don't think we have. Is there anyone?
Right now?
Right now. I think every single person working here was an articling student, including me.
Right.
Like, I articled at the old firm. But yeah, I mean, that's an issue, right? Because we've obviously had people come and go over the years, and you hire somebody who's 5 or 6 years out, you bring them in, and, you know, their legal skills are obviously a little bit more advanced, and they've got that extra experience, but they probably have learned some bad habits along the way. And it's hard, you know, especially the older you get, the harder it is to change your habits. So, you know, you've just got to be diligent. People walk into my office with a pad of paper. I go, oh, what's the pad of paper and a pen for? We don't, you know, if you need to take notes, you walk in with your laptop. We got, everybody's on Wi-Fi. Everybody has a laptop. I mean, that's the way you do it. And you make the notes right into the file through Filevine, which Nicole's going to talk about.
And Nicole, I am going to get to you. It's this deal's so old that I have to get some of the history from him.
Before I just, you know, forget everything.
I just want to get to one point. What do you say to the person who's looking after a firm? They want to get more into the technology, but they say, hey, listen, that's a big spend to get all those people to scan all those documents, get the scanning machines. You got to hire these employees. Hey, we're just not big enough to have an operation like that. What do you say to that?
There's definitely the upfront cost. You know, if you're in personal injury practice, you're only getting paid when files get resolved. And while they're an ongoing file, they're a cost, right? You've got to invest disbursement money. You're paying people to work on those files. You got to look a little further down the road. And if you're able to do a good job on 20 files a year and move 20 files a year through your system without technology, well, you're going to be able to do the same good job on 40 files instead of 20. Without compromising quality, and you're going to be billing twice as many files. So got to be long-sighted. The short-sighted view is I don't want to pay the additional cost to acquire the licenses for this program and to pay the people to scan and organize. But the longer view is the firm is going to function. My practice is going to be better. My life is going to be better because it's so much easier to do the job. From the client's perspective, it's much better for them as well.
Sure.
You're moving the cases through more quickly without compromising ever, obviously, on the quality of the result. But if you can get a great result in 3 years for a client and it takes four, well, you've done a disservice to them.
Kind of sounds more like the Starbucks model than the McDonald's model, Dale. Would you agree?
I don't go to Starbucks, so I don't know.
I'm just saying the quality.
Yeah, well, of course, you want good quality. That's paramount.
Nicole, I know I have to get to you, and I know that you're much younger than both Dale and myself, and you've been here for a while at the firm. But here's a question I have for you. So COVID hits us. It's unexpected, and most people would expect some things to slow down with production and otherwise. People can't come to the office. It's a ghost town here in the city. The offices are empty. How does McLeish Orlando do in that time?
Well, in March of 2020, when we did kind of close down the office and people were working from home, we had our laptops. We logged in the same way we logged in February 2020 and using the program Citrix. Our desktop looked exactly the same. The programs we used were exactly the same. We didn't have to skip a beat. I mean, our phones were directed already to our cell phones. We'd get every call from the reception. Really nothing changed except for the fact that we were sitting maybe in our pajamas at a makeshift desk at home. And that was it. Everything kind of just flowed the same way as it flowed in office without the in-person communication. But we were able to manage. And
when you say that, it's almost like you didn't miss a beat and you just simply were in a different seat. It happened to be at your home instead of the office. And you mentioned Citrix, which I take it is a thing that they use at the office that allows everybody to access the computers. And I'm not the big techie here, just so you know. But what about PrimaFact? Like, I mean, for you, we still have PrimaFact and we still use it.
From
the senior clerk and the staffing, it's a second nature, or what do you
think? So Citrix is a cloud-based program. So when we log in at our desk here at the office, we're using Citrix. We log in the same way. It's just cloud-based. It has every program. It has our Outlook, our PrimaFact, our web page, which we access Filevine, which we'll get into. But everything is exactly the same. There was no difference at all. PrimaFact was there. We were able to access every file, able to use the same programs that we use in office.
Let's go into Filevine. I think Filevine is from my understanding, kind of a management system used by the firm. We've had ones before on other types of programs, and I know we took the step to go over to Filevine, but explain a little bit about how Filevine is helping us or helping you and everyone moving a file forward.
Yeah, so we have had Filevine for a few years now. We really got it going, I would say, in 2019, where we kind of took all of our files from that old program we used called Time Matters, and we then moved them into Filevine. Filevine is where we kind of house all of our documents. We have summaries of all the clients. Each client has their own kind of folder or profile in FileVine, where we have all the information. So the date of loss, the client's contact card, our calendaring system, everything that's going on in the file, from, you know, discoveries to client, like the meetings on the files, they're all listed there. There's each category. So it's basically where it's kind of like a Facebook profile is what FileVine uses it as. They kind of tell us that it's about the kind of like a Facebook of for one client. We can kind of see all the information.
That's great, client by client, but it also, you know, allows you to use notes. So, you know, before people would email me, you know, and then that email would have to get saved to a file. Well, now every file in FileVine, when you're communicating with the team, you know, there's a group of people that are included in a note. Everybody sees the note. So, you know, I'll put in my, you know, whatever I have to say, and then somebody responds to that. And it's a great way to see how that issue has evolved, and, you know, whatever it is. Like, we're talking about trying to resolve a file, and, you know, Lindsay or Joe or Sal will say, you know, what do you think about this approach? And I'll say, that sounds great. Maybe add this or that. And then they respond and say, okay, I contacted defense counsel. This is what they came back with. And, you know, everybody's on the same page, literally, because everybody is seeing the same note. And that carries through the entire file. So you can look back through all the activity in the file. And whether it's, you know, an email that's getting saved into the activity feed, or these notes that are getting saved, or documents that are being received and getting slotted in there, it's a really powerful organizational tool.
The one thing in FileVine and PrimaFact, and obviously in any law firm, there are always staffing issues, meaning people come and go, and I think that happens. I don't think it's frequently at our firm, but it certainly happens where a new staff member has to come over and take a look at a file. How do you think FileVine and PrimaFact assist having someone new step into the seat? I mean, obviously you've got to-dos, you've got the status where the file's at, and they have to get up to speed. How does that assist in that process and any transition from a staff taking a new position on a file?
Well, Nicole does all the training, so I'll let her speak up.
Yeah, so what's great about FileVine is you can take a look at a file, and you can see where things have left off. You can take a look at the calendar. You could put it in a list form, see every event that's coming up. You can make sure that certain tasks were entered in. You can look at these tasks. So if you're looking at a file and you don't know, oh, have discovery's been scheduled yet? Well, you can find that task, find where that person left off. All their notes will be in there, and you can pick up where they've left off. So it's different than being in a program where, you know, if somebody's using their emails as their management system, well, then you'd have to dig through their emails, figure out where they left off. Whereas FileVine, all the notes are in there. You can take a full look at the file, look at what it's outstanding, and kind of just pick up the pieces from there, which is really easy, especially if somebody's coming into that role that's newly hired. You can kind of take a look at the file, see where things left off, and start training them kind of where the last person left off so we don't miss anything.
Right. And we have a very regimented system for file development and a bring forward system. So I understand, because I don't put the stuff in myself, but there's a task flow. So tell us how that works.
Yeah, so the task flow is great. So what we've done is when we created FileVine, or a template for FileVine, we, myself as well as a few other people here, developed a list of tasks that will automatically get populated into the file. So it starts right from the beginning, right from file opening. There are certain tasks that are going to go in right away. Make sure the retainer agreement's sent to the client. Make sure we get copies of their medical records, just everything that we're going to do right from the start. And as the case proceeds through, there's different tasks that start. So scheduling examination for discovery, that gets triggered by receiving a defense. So everything feeds into the next task that will then be populated into the assistant's name, and they automatically get populated. So we just hit a task flow button, and each task, whether it's a law clerk task or an assistant task, will feed into that person's name right away. You're notified of it because it shows up on your feed. It's just an easy way of making sure that nothing gets missed, as long as everybody is, you know, working on their tasks correctly and things are moving along. So it is great.
Wow.
So instead of my spreadsheet.
I was going to ask you about that, Gail. I wanted to, your spreadsheet and
but
your
now
Excel.
It's all incorporated into FileVine.
Well, it's got so that report generation that does that with a push of a button and gets the status of all your files and where they're at any given time.
Well, I mean, and like I am not super techie, but I just will say to Nicole, like, can you run a report? So you get these reports out of FileVine, and I might say, well, I need a report on, you know, the files that are scheduled for mediation, you know, discovery and pretrial the next 12 months. Or I might say, well, just run a report on all of my files in terms of the status, and then you can see, you get a report that shows literally every file that I'm the responsible partner on, what stage it's at, you know, and how long it's been at that stage and where it is in this task flow system. So, you know, instead of me having to say, well, wait a second, the defense was received 6 months ago, you know, and then creating a to-do for somebody to arrange discoveries, well, that's already been taken care of through FileVine, I understand.
That's exactly it. The reporting is great. You can report on anything. As long as the field, so there's fields that we input in right from the start of a file when we open it, such as, you know, date of loss, injuries, you know, which police detachment attended a scene. So you could pull a report and see everywhere where Toronto Police Service has attended the scene. Any report that you want to pull, you can pull if the data's in FileVine.
Wow.
You can measure productivity as well with these reports.
Yeah. Yeah, you can see how many outstanding tasks people have. You can see the time spent on certain tasks, you know, kind of any time that someone saves the document to FileVine, there's a way that it gets reported.
So you can see one assistant is accomplishing 100 tasks a day, and then somebody sitting beside them is doing 20 tasks a day. You know, so it really is insightful in terms of like who's a producer and who's getting stuff done, you know, week after week and month after month. And sure, one person can have a busy day one day. It's not comparable. But if you look week after week after week, you know, we had one overflow assistant who, you know, was doing three times as much as everybody else just because she was just, you know, that fast.
This is true. Yeah.
You guys like that, Nicole? Like having someone to see who's at what level, you know, and monitoring. I don't know if there's monitoring. Is there monitoring going on, Dale, or is it just simply trying to keep an idea of productivity and how people are going in their workflow?
Well, it's not Big Brother. I mean, it's not like we're looking at this every day, but, you know, as a management tool, you know, productivity tool, and you need to evaluate, you know, who's a strong performer, you're doing salary reviews, or you're looking to promote somebody, and you're trying to get a sense of you know, how much is being accomplished, particularly during COVID. I mean, it was great because, you know, you and I were both very worried. It's like, well, what's going to happen? Is our productivity going to fall off of a cliff if people are working from home? And it was the opposite. People were actually accomplishing more, and we were able to tell that by looking at FileVine. Like, the number of tasks completed went up, not down.
Wow. Well, it sounds like a great productivity tool. It's a great tool to introduce staff and to take over files and not miss a beat. And what we used to call, and you probably know these terms, Dale, widows and orphans, mm-hmm. which in the old days, back with paper files and stuff, and as much as people were writing down to-do lists and putting sticky notes and having their own little formulas of follow-up, you once in a while hear that someone has a widow or orphan, mm-hmm. and it just sounds like that probably doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it's pretty hard. I mean, widows and orphans are files that just get no attention. You know, I took over somebody's practice, and there's two or three files that you just groan every time you have to think about them, and they get no attention. Well, they can't in this system because it just moves, everything just moves ahead, and it's automated. And like, we do have our own very rigid system. I mean, we have our 7-day file review meeting and our 120-day and our pre-discovery meetings and post-discovery meetings, but all of that gets inputted through the program, I understand.
Yeah, so all of that is automatically inputted through FileVine. We have file review meetings that go in right away. And that goes to, we have certain checklists that we have as well when things get scheduled. And we have to make sure that all those meetings are put into the calendar correctly. And each document that needs to go out is sent out, and there's a task that generates for each one of those things.
great. Well, this all sounds great in relation to your staff and the staff at McLeish Orlando in having this technology to help you with the movement of files. But you're still dealing with a lot of third parties out there. And from my understanding, and we know in litigation, it's a process of getting a lot of documents coming in from third parties, whether it's Revenue Canada, whether it's the family doctor, the hospital records, the decoded OHIP summary. I mean, you've got all these requests going out, and you're trying to access these documents for the file in order to obviously have them part of the file. That seems like a big process. Tell us a bit about, because I know we use Tracument and MedChart, and how those work and how they assist in that process. Because it does seem a bit daunting to try to get all that and follow up and make sure all these documents come in.
Yeah, that's definitely a Nicole question.
Yeah, so Tracument is a great program. What they do is, a few years ago when we made a request to, let's say, Canada Revenue Agency, if we need to follow up, we'd have our task to follow up and we'd have to print our old letter out. And then we'd have to do a follow-up letter. We'd write a letter saying, further to our letter of this date, this date, this date. We look forward to a copy of these records. We'd fax it off again. We don't have to do that anymore with Tracument. So Tracument, we upload our letter to CRA through Tracument, and then it automatically will do follow-ups for us. So that's great. And that's been really helpful.
And there's no check, before, everybody needs a certain amount of money for these productions that you're asking for. And Nicole would have to say, okay, well, it's with the initial request, you have to send them $12. And then they write back and say, well, we've processed your request. You owe us another $215. And then we'll send you the records. And she's followed up four times for them. And finally, now we get a second check request out. And finally, after the fifth letter, we're getting the documents. And now I understand, we just send a certain amount of money, almost like a retainer to Tracument, and then they process all the fees and they just deduct it out of our sort of a bank account that we keep with them.
So this is all different types of records, is that it?
Yeah, so if we're writing to, let's say, Toronto Police, the FOI office, it's $5. So when we put our letter in requesting the records, we indicate include check, we put the amount of the check, and we just press send. We upload our letter, we press send. They're going to do the follow-ups from every, you can set it monthly, bi-weekly. Normally we do monthly. And then when we get a response from Tracument, let's say we get the records in, we just cancel the request on Tracument so it no longer follows up. And so that's been great and a huge time saver.
And what about MedChart?
So MedChart is another great program that we've been, I guess it's been maybe 5 years now. Not too sure on the time, but that's a great program. MedChart will basically, it's like a hub of medical records, or they have the relationship with these medical record departments. So let's say it's Sunnybrook Hospital, St. John's Rehab. What we do is we make a request through MedChart. There's no letter involved. Whereas before we used to have to write a letter to Sunnybrook for the records. We just have to click a button that says, so we have a client set up in there. We click a button to get the records from Sunnybrook. We put the date range that we want. We put if we want the x-rays and the diagnostic imaging in as well. And we hit send, we add an authorization, and off it goes.
Wow.
And they do all the follow-up for us.
That must have taken a lot of, if you're now telling me, well, and we know, but with Tracument and MedChart, we're now talking about hitting a button and checking off a box to get all these documents that used to take letter writings, follow-up letters, check requisitions, checks being sent. It must be an enormous amount.
Well, don't you remember
of saving
the stack of check recs that you'd have to look through? And,
my arm would get tired.
Yeah, it was like 100 a day, or whatever, 50 a day. And it'd be like, oh, God, I'm on for check recs. I've got to look at all these stupid things and sign them. And meanwhile, now it's like you might get 4 or 5 a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What about getting are you using any other things to get searches done in MTO? Is it all really digital these days?
Yeah, so MTO, we can now get police reports off the MTO, which is a huge time saver. Before, sometimes we wouldn't get those police reports for 2-3 months. Now, as soon as they upload it to this portal, the MTO portal, we're able to just log in, put the either a driver's license number, the date of loss, and it generates the report for us. We almost get it immediately, and it's a nice clear copy. It's before we used to have issues where we'd have some handwritten scribbles down, but now they make them digital, so we get a nice clear copy of the MVA report.
So, wow. Are the courts keeping up with this type of technology that you're talking about? Like, where are we with the court system and filings and things like that? I know there's case lines.
During COVID, the court really did change the way of doing things, and I think it was time. I think they needed to make that move, COVID forced them to do it. Prior to COVID, we'd have a process server go in and try to file the documentation. But now we can use their portal that they have. So now they have a portal called OneKey, and we use that to do all of our filings.
Sounds like the assistants have like half as much work as they used to have.
Yeah.
But we haven't reduced the number of assistants.
Right.
Why did we lease all this space, Dale?
I'm not sure, Pat, because you could be sitting in your living room or at your cottage. And as long as you've got a phone and a laptop, you're at work. And
we're renovating the lounge too.
We are.
Why is that? Out of curiosity, why would you be renovating the lounge despite all these efficiencies and things happening with potentially less staff?
Yeah, so we're renovating our lounge. We do have our staff in 3 days a week, and we obviously went through that whole process where we were essentially closed, and then we needed social distancing, so we had half the staff in on Mondays and Tuesdays and the other half in on Thursdays and Fridays. And, I think part of what separates MO from the rest of the personal injury field is our people. And, the fact that, we do have such a close-knit, cohesive group, and we foster that. And I think I talked about it on the last podcast that we did about business of law, how, we really value our staff and our clerks and our assistants. We owe a large part of our success to them. And we've tried to encourage this sort of family atmosphere over the last 25 years. And we did see that starting to slip away. So even though the productivity was still there, the camaraderie wasn't there, the mentoring wasn't there, and we were kind of losing a little bit of what made us special. And when we brought people back, and we said everybody's got to be in 3 days a week on the same days, so Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, we have everybody in. There wasn't a single person that quit. There wasn't a few people had some concerns, and obviously the commuting is a little bit of a hassle, but we did offer people the opportunity to work from home exclusively, and nobody took us up on that. Everybody enjoys the environment here. And maybe I'm naive, but I do think of the people that I work with, not just the lawyers and partners, but the staff as well, as part of my friend group. And I like you, Pat, enjoy.
I like you too, Dale.
Pat.
I love you, man.
I love you too, buddy. But I do enjoy having a beer with whoever's around on a Thursday, at 4 o'clock or 4:30. And we have one lounge. It's not a lawyer's lounge. It's a lounge where whoever is kicking around when we decide we're going to, go in and have a drink or put the game on or whatever it is. We have staff, we have lawyers, we have, you name it, everybody on the admin side, everybody comes in and enjoy the camaraderie.
What do you think about AI? I mean, you're talking about technology, and we're talking since 99 and the progression of technology, and we're getting one of the biggest bangs coming out of there in AI, as they call it. And what do you think of that? And have you taken a look at it? And where do you think it might go in the law industry?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, obviously, it's going to be hugely transformative. In terms of personal injury practice, we don't do a lot of contract drafting. I mean, I think it's yet to be seen. It's going to be huge. It's definitely going to be huge. I just don't know, exactly how it's going to impact us. I mean, I do use ChatGPT. I find it just amazing, and I'm still on GPT-3, but the amount, you know, like whether it's writing a blog post or, you know, planning a vacation, you name it. Like it's just, it's incredibly powerful and it's in its infancy. It'll be, you know, really interesting to see how it unfolds. And I think we just need to obviously always stay on the cutting edge and implement these productivity improvements as they come, keep our firm where we stand.
Yeah. Nicole, over to you on this point. You heard all this technology. You've told us a lot about it with Dale, and it does sound significant. And it does sound it's progressing things to the extent where people aren't needed as much. And you're on the front line. And in our industry, in personal injury, you have a lot of clients, and we do as the team have clients and dealing with them. You think technology or AI helps in those phone calls that you deal daily with, or what are your thoughts on that?
No, I think in our field, that human connection is really important. I don't know if having an automated, you know, telephone conversation for a client where it kind of puts what you need to say back to them, or if there's a automatic text that goes out to clients when they text us, like things like that, I don't think that would work for our firm. Like, I think that human factor is really important, and that connection that we have with clients is really important. So I don't see us being kind of replaced by...
Bit of the nature, you know, of our litigation is got that human component that they just can't remove.
Right.
Yeah, that's interesting. Anyways, well, listen, Dale and Nicole, thank you so much for sharing all your insights today and where technology is, not only today, but where it was and how you can progress as a firm with it. And just thank you for your insights.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pat.
Who are still listening now, if you have any questions about personal injury or a case you may or may not have, we're always happy to speak with you. You can reach us at 1-866-685-3311, or you can send us an email at info@mollp.com. Take care. Bye for now.